Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. Been reporting news now most of my life. Worked at Fox, CNN, NBC, won 2 Peabody Awards, interviewed 4 presidents. I only say that because after all this stuff, you know, that I've done and worked at all these networks and stuff, you get a pretty good idea of what news should be. I think it should be honest. I think it should be direct. And I think it should be impactful. On this show, we're going to tackle Julian Assange and do it thusly. The China lecture. What is it? Wait till you hear it. Burisma's ties to terrorism and the generals take on Donald Trump. This is Direct Impact. And before we get into any of those stories, first I want to introduce you to our esteemed panel, 2 gentlemen who are a heck of a lot smarter than I am. They will carry this show, not me. Political scientist and co-host of The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik, Dr. Wilmer Leon, and political commentator Jamarl Thomas. He is also a co-host on Fault Lines for Radio Sputnik. All right, let's get started, gentlemen. And of course, the big story this week just happens to be almost on the day that we happen to be broadcasting this, Australia says, we want him back. We want Julian Assange back. Now, they've never said that before, but they're saying it now. Enough is enough. Actually, the words that the prime minister used. It's time to let Julian Assange go. So, President Biden is asked about this after he had a meeting with the Japanese prime minister. Here's our president.
Do you have a response to Australia's request that you end Julian Assange's prosecution?
We're considering it.
That's actually how he said it. I'm not so much making fun of him. I'm not mocking him. I'm just saying that's how he said it, which makes me think, I wonder if he really heard the question. You say what?
I say this indicates a couple of things. One is it was Donald Trump, President Trump, that initiated this after President Obama decided to let Julian Assange be Julian Assange. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden doubled down on the Trump policy. This is a perfect opportunity for President Biden to do right by Julian Assange. He has an out. Mm. We were told a couple of weeks ago that there was a negotiation and that they were gonna offer him a plea.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he might take an Alford plea and say, okay, you got me, I didn't do it, but let me out of prison. So he's had some opportunities here to do the right thing, and he still seems to be stuck on stupid.
Yeah. Well, I think Julian Assange is a cool issue. People, and I use that word for a purpose, I think people around the world who read, who are knowledgeable, relate to Julian Assange and what he's gone through.
Yeah.
I don't think Americans in general are cool people in this particular time in history because of what our media feeds us. I also don't think we have a president who's a cool guy.
No.
So I started looking around, for example, why is the world so enamored by Julian Assange? And I looked at Australia. Do you know how many people in Australia are in favor? They did a poll.
Mm-hmm.
So the results of the poll, they asked, do you think Julian Assange should be freed? 80%,
yeah.
79 point something,
right?
Almost 80% of the people in Australia, which reflects most of the global South, the rest of the world except for us, is big on letting this guy out of prison.
Yeah.
The only ones who don't believe that is us.
Yeah.
How big a deal is that?
Personally, I think it's a big deal. I mean, the Obama administration, the reason that Obama didn't do it is because Obama's point of view was this damages press freedom in mm-hmm. the United States. If we're going after journalists, well, what does it mean for other journalists in the country itself? The rest of the world kind of sees it for what it is. I mean, Julian Assange embarrassed the State Department.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. It was that, right?
And he's not American.
He's not American.
He's Australian.
And he's held by our laws. That's the other part. So he doesn't get the defense of the First Amendment. By the same token, we still go after him and prosecute him under our laws. It's super weird. I would imagine Australia looks at this and thinks to themselves, not to mention, they've gotten your pound of flesh. I mean, they've tortured this guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's... for over a decade at this point, if I remember correctly. What, 5 years in Belmarsh, not to mention the time he spent in the Ecuadorian embassy?
7.
Yeah. I mean, just astonishing time period. So, no, I would imagine the rest of the world looks at it and says, you're torturing this guy because this guy was able to expose the stuff that you guys were doing.
But you think it's legit? You guys both think that this thing could really happen?
John Kerry,
the U.S. needs a win. This could be it.
Oh, that's not a win for the U.S.
The two things. One, I want to push back just a little bit.
Go for it.
I don't know that Obama was concerned about press freedom as much as he was concerned about press indictment, calling it the New York Times conundrum.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What are you saying?
Because the New York Times and the Washington Post and other mainstream papers used Assange's information. So if you prosecute him, then you're going to drag the other papers into the case as
well. So what you're saying is Obama, who was supposed to be President Obama, who was supposed to be Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Hope and Change, was actually...
Si se puede. Yes,
si
we
se
can.
Puede. You're saying not so much.
Oh, not at all. Again, I don't think he was concerned about the First Amendment as much as he was about protecting the New York Times. And I'll say this too, Joe Biden does not want Julian Assange to set foot on American soil before the 5th of November.
Case would be very loud and very ugly, and I think it'll put particular attention on our very militaristic ways, especially what's going on right now in Gaza and Ukraine. And then you have this crime where they're going to be showing videotape.
It looks bad.
Yeah.
It looks horrible. Not to mention, what happens if they lose? There's that part. I mean, they're acting as if the State Department has a win.
Do you think they're going to do it? You think
I don't know.
Why not?
I mean, John Kerry-Aku made the point of saying that they were talking behind the scenes to family members, saying basically offering a deal, like you said, an offer free. I don't think Assange is going to do that, though. I mean, it's an issue of principle, right? What does it mean for journalism? And he's went through all of this. Immediately get out of prison. And look, I don't blame him.
There's a heck of a lot of encouragement right now. I've never seen this sense of optimism that I've seen right now with this particular action. So we'll let it play out and we'll cover it for you here, as I'm sure you guys will on your shows as well.
Absolutely.
Spokesperson for the police in Moscow investigating the terrorist attack on the Crocus Music Hall has made a startling announcement. According to records, phone calls, and other evidence, it appears Burisma. Yeah, that Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company, has been funding terrorism, including attacks against Russia.
Итогом проверки, организованной в связи с обращением группы депутатов Госдумы и иных лиц, Следственным комитетом России возбуждено уголовное дело о финансировании терроризма. Установлено, что денежные средства, поступавшие через коммерческие организации, в частности, нефтегазовую компанию «Бурисма Холдингс», действующую на территории Украины, на протяжении последних лет использовались для осуществления террористических актов в Российской Федерации, а также за ее пределами.
Jamal, I'm sorry. I know the media hasn't played this here in our country very much. This is a very, very big deal.
Yeah.
Foreign energy company, any company involved that has direct ties to a country like Ukraine, if they can link them to the actual Crocus attack, we got a problem here.
That is big, especially considering, Hunter Biden's links to Burisma.
And by the way, to be safe, and to be fair, and to be, accurate, they have not linked them to the Crocus attack.
Correct.
They've linked them to terrorism in general.
Right. Basically, money is going from this energy company or various people who are in the energy company in order to fund these various events in Russia. Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, we're talking about an energy company that is known to be very corrupt right off the bat. That's an understatement, right? The former president's son worked for, was making all of this money for, which seems to be an influence peddling operation in regards to getting close to the dad, who just so happens to be VP at the time. That looks bad. It's an indictment of our interaction with that country.
Well, exactly. You notice the way I presented this story, I haven't even gone into the Biden angle yet.
Correct.
Because right now there isn't any.
Right.
Other than the fact that we know that he got his son, his idiot son, a cushy job with Burisma. We know that there's been ties to Biden and Ukrainian corrupt officials ever since 2014 when he first went there. He used to visit there like 10 times a year. It doesn't smell good for Biden if this company is tied to this thing.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't smell good. And it just is another data point that connects to all of this intrigue. Again, Hunter Biden, 10% for the big guy. All of that does not bode well, not only for the Biden administration, but if you keep peeling back this onion, it's not going to stop at Hunter. It's not going to stop at Joe. There are a number of members of not only the Biden entourage, but other very powerful entourages as well that are tied to Burisma.
This whole thing is just amazing to think. I mean, this was our big push for so long. If you live in the United States, you heard people in our government constantly saying terrorism, war on terrorism, terrorism, those terrorists. If a company that essentially is almost an American company is tied to this type of terrorism, that's so incredibly hypocritical. So,
and last week, John Kirby didn't want to refer to the crocus as a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
He went a very long way to avoid using that term.
Yeah. It's almost shameful. All right, let's move to China. Janet Yellen goes to China, and what does she do? She lectures the Chinese premier on free market principles and on how to properly run their economy. The premier fires back at her, telling her, wait a minute, you guys are the ones who need to get a lesson on free market principles. But here's Yellen's version.
We intend to underscore the need for a shift in policy by China during these talks, building on the over 2 hours I spent on this topic with the Vice Premier last week. This is part of our effort to advocate for American industries and prevent the significant economic disruptions we've seen in the past.
They call her Mrs. Excitement.
Yeah, she's a very excited woman.
So, but here's the big point. We have seen, as Americans and as journalists who study this stuff over the last however many years, that the subsidies in the United States are to the tune of sometimes tens of billions of dollars that companies in the United States get from us, the taxpayers. We see banks that are bailed out. In other words, they screw up. Don't worry, you don't have to pay for it. The taxpayers will take care of you. You'll stay in business. The CEOs of those companies walk away with sometimes, what did Mary Barga get, $22 million to fail?
Yeah.
So to make the argument that the Chinese, which, by the way, I'm not arguing that the Chinese economy is not communist or socialist or whatever word we want to use.
Yeah.
But I think we got a bunch of that in our own system, gentlemen.
Depends on it. The language is always very important.
Yeah.
And the ability to define is the ability to control. So, we call them subsidies. When we bailed out the banks and the banks did not take that money and lend it back to the American people, President Obama said, well, I didn't expect them to do that. And what did they do with the money? They bought back their stock and artificially inflated.
Is that socialism? Is that communism? I think it is.
It sounds like it to me. But the Treasury Secretary to argue about whatever happened to the free market system.
Yeah.
I thought the invisible hand was supposed to determine winners and losers in the free, I mean, that's what we argue all the time. And she goes to China the same way Tony Blinken went to the Chinese in Anchorage and tried to lecture them, only to have them say, we are China, we aren't gonna sit here, Tony, and listen to you. We're going to dinner.
But to be fair, China does support some of its big companies that do well.
So they also let the ones that don't do well fail.
So do we. Exactly.
The auto industry, for example, that's one of the other bailouts. The
General
big
Motors.
Bailouts, General Motors.
Obama had a campaign speech. $500 million for General Motors.
If you remember, Joe Biden, when Obama was running for his re-election, he said, we bailed out the auto market or something to that effect. But they were using it as a campaign slogan in order to show, look how great we did. The chip manufacturing thing, where they basically said, we got to fight China, so we're going to invest all of this money into the chip manufacturing thing. Slendra, the thing that Republicans always complain about.
You're so right.
I mean, like, yeah, we do it also.
It's this argument that we're good, they're bad, our system's perfect, theirs isn't, they're communist, but we're free market. No, actually,
a little bit of
the line is more like this.
And their economy's growing at almost 7%.
Yeah.
And we had 2.5. Yeah. And most of that 2.5 had to do with subsidies.
Bingo. Let's take a break. We got to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to hit a couple of other topics, which is interesting, including we ought to laugh once in a while. So I'm going to show you CNN's coverage of the eclipse this week.
Oh, this will be great.
Yeah, it's good. It's in costume, by the way. We're bringing the costumes out soon. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. As promised, I wanted to show you something which I think is going to elicit a laugh or two, maybe not. We talk a lot about some of the things that, well, we were just discussing, the implications of our relationship economically with China, what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. And certainly these are all very important stories. You know, what happened with the president's announcement about somebody who's been in prison for way too long, as we like to say. Most of those stories don't even get coverage by the people that we're about to show you. But boy, this week, the anchors at CNN and the CNN team, their news team, they got so jacked up about covering the kind of story that they really love to sink their teeth into. Really sink their teeth into. In fact, I'm going to show you two CNN anchors this week covering the eclipse. Here they are. Take a look at them. This is CNN. Now, as you watch these folks, I want to ask you something. What if a terrorist attack would have happened in that moment with their costume, and they have to actually go on the air and say, folks, we've just learned moments ago that there's been a terrorist attack in, you know, wherever.
If you're
dressed like this.
If you're journalists, you go on air.
What the hell happened to where's the credibility?
You're talking about CNN, right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right.
My bad.
If you're an anchor, would you say, oh, yeah, cool, yeah, what do you want me to wear? I mean, no, I'm not wearing this.
But to be fair, it's a weatherman, right?
No.
That's an anchor.
Those are their two main news anchors.
My bad.
Yes.
My bad.
You want to see a weatherman?
I thought it was a weatherman.
Yeah. I got a weatherman for you. All right, ready? Tyler, we're going to show them now. He said weatherman. We got that, too. Here's a weatherman crying when he sees the eclipse on the air. Go.
Pete Sack,
oh, my gosh. We're almost there. There it is. It's totality. This is just amazing. I can't believe I'm able to bring this to you. I'm taking my glasses off for a moment because you can actually look up and see. We're seeing kind of a diamond effect, but we can see the halo.
There is a war in Ukraine. There are probably 10,000 dead children in Gaza. There are really important things, some of which I cry about sometimes when I get thinking about them. But this guy cries about looking at an eclipse on the air.
I don't want to hit that guy. I respect this notion of scientific inquiry in looking.
Why cry?
Crying is a bit indefensible. Fair enough. But as somebody who's like, you know, who could be a geek on a lot of the stuff, I don't want to hit him. That's a little intense. Fair enough.
I'll say it. I'll say, dude, get a life.
To quote the brilliant African American philosopher Flavor Flav, don't believe the hype. This thing was hyped.
It's a cool story. We covered it.
It's a cool story. It's important. But I think he got overwhelmed with the buildup and the hype. Mm. And he was just trying to, he used that emotion to facilitate all of that. This is not my first eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's yours.
Yeah.
Well, it might be yours because I'm 30 years older than you.
Have you ever cried on the air?
I have. I have, but I haven't been on the air to cover a story
breaking
that has brought me to tears.
I cried somewhat infamously or famously. Hurricane Andrew many years ago in South Florida
devastated the region.
I saw people dying. I saw people. It was horrible.
I didn't think any less of you.
And I cried. But I was crying about dead people.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I mean, to be fair, nothing really matters short of what we denote that matters. For that guy, that eclipse was one of the most prolific things in the history of things.
Okay.
And him as a human being, it is
pretty
phenomenal.
You're so much more fair than the rest of us. I admire you for that.
It's a profound thing.
I look up to you.
Cut him a break. He's cutting him a break.
I'm trying to get a guy, older guys.
We're looking at him like, hey, dude.
You softy.
All right, I want to show you a map. Ready? This is the North Sea. You guys are very familiar with the North Sea.
Yes.
Six countries have gotten together there, Britain, Denmark, Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, and Norway, and they've created this consortium of security. It's like a security alliance to make sure nobody goes in there and explodes their pipelines.
Right.
Because after what happened to Nord Stream, yeah. They want to make sure that nobody does to them what they did to the Russians. Now, the Russians are not included in this consortium. They weren't even advised. They weren't even called. And I don't know if you noticed, I'll give you the list again, but two of those countries, I don't know if you caught it, I said them really fast. I'll just tell you the ones that are, I think, important. Germany and Norway. Why are those two countries so important?
Well, for one, it was a German pipeline.
No, but they were involved in the Nord Stream explosion.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Right, along with the United States.
Of course.
Well,
right.
I mean, the question is, does Scholz know?
They should know everything about how to blow up a pipeline, then.
They should. And also important here, I think, is to remember, as President Putin said in his interview with, what's his name? I forget his name. That...
The weatherman.
That Nord Stream, that there is one active...
Right.
Scholz.
There is one active... They didn't destroy the total pipe, Nord Stream pipeline.
Oh, exactly.
And so there is one. So he said, turn it up. Let's get the gas flowing. But the United States is making too much money selling LNG to Europe.
That's right.
And Europe is paying too much money for LNG, which is why they're.
Did you see my interview with Seymour Hersh?
Yes.
I think Seymour basically says the Biden administration sat down, and by the Biden administration, I meant basically the head of the CIA, the head of the State Department, Victoria Nuland,
right.
And they came up with a plan where they would have these guys in Panama City who are divers
right.
go down there and blow this thing up. They needed help from the Norwegians to be able to clear right. the area, so Norway was right. in on it, according to Seymour Hersh, who told me that, and that the Germans knew about it as well, although they weren't a part of the operation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but think of the hypocrisy that these two countries who are now trying to create a security shield so nobody does to their pipelines what they did
right.
to Nord Stream, and both of them have come out, in fact, all six of these countries have come out and saying, the Nord Stream explosion is, quote, unquote, a mystery that
mystery.
Is unsolved.
Right.
Yes.
Which is why they have to make the security arrangement, because you never know when another random rogue actor would blow up the country. Look, I mean, the conversation where you had Joe Biden and you had Scholz, they were having that meeting, stand-up meeting.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden said, if they go in, we will stop the pipelines.
Yeah.
And they were like, sir, that is not your pipeline. How do you plan to do that? He said, we will do it.
Trust me.
Yeah, trust me, we will do it. Now, unless Joe Biden's a psychic, unless Joe Biden had a remote viewer on his staff that can look into the future and say that stuff was possible, how would Joe Biden ever know that the pipeline was going to blow up?
Yeah, it just looks. It's the optics are horrible.
That's a damning
indictment. Six countries,
yeah.
Two of them that were possibly, according to Seymour Hersh, involved in the blowing up of a pipeline, are now saying they're going to create a security alliance to make sure pipelines aren't blown up. You can't make this stuff up.
But yeah. What that means is they're going to ask the United States not to blow up another.
right.
Right. All right. Long list of former U.S. generals and admirals have come together. They sent an amicus brief to the Supreme Court, warning the Supreme Court not to offer general immunity to the former president of the United States. Here's what they say. Giving Trump sweeping immunity would bring chaos, former U.S. generals, admirals, and military service leaders say. That's according to the Business Insider. I'm of two minds on this, but I'll let you guys go first. Who wants to go first? Go.
51 intelligence officials have basically said their laptop was fake. It seems like there are certain people who are, let's say, politically connected in a way that is...
Do you think this is political? That's the point that you're making.
These
former generals and...
I do.
I agree.
Usually generals don't come out like that.
I agree, but what about the notion that what they're saying, look, nobody's above the law.
They shouldn't give him immunity. They are correct.
They shouldn't give it. Correct. I agree with you.
Both things can be true.
Both things can be true. I don't trust these guys. I don't trust anybody who comes out of the military. And I know what they do after they come out of the military.
Donald Trump is not a king.
They get bought and sold. Go ahead.
I agree with that 1,000%. That we have to question their motives.
Mm-hmm.
But it, with their motives being what they are, they are, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
And so their motives are suspect. To your point, they also, many of these same people were the ones that signed the letter about the laptop, because Tony Blinken, before he became Secretary of State, organized them to do so.
Yeah.
So this seems like a similar tactic and act.
Agreed.
I wish we could keep going because this is really fun, but I'm being told by Peyton that I have to close the show. So we're out of time, and let's do it again next week.
Yeah, sure.
Let's have these conversations and these quick hitting conversations, and I'll try and bring you another weatherman. And this time I'll make sure he doesn't cry for you. Guys, it's been great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Before we go, I want to remind you of our mission. What we try to do here on a daily basis is kind of de-silo the world. Too many of us tend to live in these little boxes where we think only our truths matter or our neighbor's truth. Truths don't live in boxes. We don't live in boxes. This is Direct Impact, and I am Rick Sanchez.